are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGots. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. It's awards week. We're going to talk about the winners and the losers. DJ LeMahieu is up for MVP. That'll be announced tonight. I doubt he's going to get it, but as I keep saying, it's an honor just being nominated. And if any other Yankees news comes across the wire as I'm recording, I will let you know all about it. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So again, the MVPs for both leagues, AL and NL, will be announced tonight. So far, we know who's won Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, and both Cy Youngs. The Cy Youngs were named last night. Shane Bieber won in the American League. Trevor Bauer won in the National League. Gerrit Cole, I believe, came in fourth place in the AL. Oh, and just in case you're hearing a hum in the background, the town is here. You know, the guys who come around and pick up leaves and trees, and they're operating a wood chipper not too far from my house, and it's extremely loud, even with the windows closed. So I just wanted to let you know that's what you're listening to. It's not my stomach growling or anything like that. At least not today. Oh, before I go into all the award winners, yesterday was the day when guys had to either accept their qualifying offers or reject them. Kevin Gausman of the Giants accepted his. Marcus Stroman of the Mets accepted his. Everyone else, and there was only four other people, including DJ LeMahieu, did not accept their qualifying offers. This year, the qualifying offer was 1 year, $18.9 million. So DJ LeMahieu, JT Realmuto, George Springer, and Trevor Bauer all rejected their qualifying offers. As you know, the Yankees did not extend one to Masahiro Tanaka, but that doesn't mean that they won't re-sign him to a new deal. It looks like it's heading that way, at least from what I've read, that there are sources that are saying that the Yankees and Tanaka do not want to separate or divorce, you know, but however you want to look at it. So let's get into the awards. Last night, the Cy Young was awarded for both leagues. Shane Bieber became the first unanimous Cy Young winner since Clayton Kershaw did it in 2014, and just the 24th overall to do it. Kenta Maeda of the Twins and Hyunjin Ryu finished second and third, respectively. And then Trevor Bauer won for the NL. He received 27 first-place votes. He beat Yu Darvish, who got 3 first-place votes, and Jacob deGrom finished in third place. So the Cy Young in both leagues was won by a team from Ohio. I guess that's kind of cool. Oh, and can I just say, people who have watched baseball for years still act as if they don't know that these awards are voted on before the playoffs. So obviously Shane Bieber's performance against the Yankees had nothing to do with this. Or they don't take the playoffs into account. Because people were joking the other night when Kevin Cash won Manager of the Year. Oh, I guess they didn't watch the game where he pulled Snell out too early. I mean, come on, guys. So yeah, Cash won AL Manager of the Year. And Donnie Baseball, my boy, my everything when I was a kid, I loved Don Mattingly. I mean, everyone my age loved Don Mattingly, pretty much. It was either Don Mattingly or Dave Winfield. Some people like Ricky Henderson, but Mattingly was the man. So he won NL Manager of the Year. Congrats to him. The Rookie of the Year award went to Mariners center fielder Kyle Lewis for the AL and Brewers reliever Devin Williams in the NL. And what's remarkable about this is that they are the first black players to sweep the award since 1984 when Dwight Gooden and Alvin Davis did it. And considering everything that's happened this year with the Black Lives Matter movement, this is a big deal. Lewis won his award unanimously. He's the 12th unanimous selection in Rookie of the Year history, AL. He received all 30 first place votes for 150 points. White Sox center fielder Luis Robert got 83 points. He finished second. And Astros right-hander Christian Javier finished third. Williams, who was already named the Trevor Hoffman NL Reliever of the Year, received 14 first place votes and 95 total vote points. He beat out Phillies third baseman Alec Baum, who got 9 first place votes, and Padres infielder Jake Cronenworth, who got 6 first place votes and tied for second place with Baum with 74 points apiece. As I said, tonight, MVP awards will be given out, and at least in the AL, there will definitely be a first-timer. Jose Abreu, DJ LeMahieu, and Jose Ramirez are your nominees. In the NL, you have Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Manny Machado. If Mookie Betts wins the NL MVP tonight, he will become only the second player in Major League Baseball history to win the MVP in each league, joining Frank Robinson, which is very good company. I wasn't going to talk about this, but something happened yesterday, and I would like to give my feelings about this. Okay. So, apparently, someone, I don't know why, maybe because Sonny Gray tweeted about Bauer winning the Cy Young and congratulated him, but someone went to Sonny Gray's Twitter account and looked at things that he's liked, because if you're on Twitter, you can like people's tweets, and then Twitter keeps them in order for you. So if you go to my likes, you'll see a bunch of stuff too, but it turns out some people will like porn on Twitter. Yes, people actually post porn pictures, porn clips, and Sonny Gray liked a certain kind of porn. And that was the big discussion last night on Twitter. You do you. If you enjoy it, go right ahead. I will not judge you for any kind of porn that you like. That's your business. What I will say about this is if you're a public figure on Twitter, instead of liking tweets like that, there is an option to bookmark tweets, and people can't see your bookmarks. So that's my advice. If you're going to like a tweet or enjoy a tweet that has porn in it, bookmark it. Do not like it. This is how boring the off-season is right now. People are so bored with what's happening that they can't even be excited about someone winning the Cy Young. They have to go to another person's account and expose them. I will say this about Sonny Gray's preferences. I was shocked. But again, I'm not going to judge. It's just when you see Sonny Gray and then you realize what he likes, it's not what I expected. Okay, before this podcast goes completely off the rails, let's change subjects. Apparently, both the Mets and the Yankees have reached out to Yadier Molina's camp to express interest in the veteran catcher. That was reported by John Heyman of MLB Network. He tweeted that out, and he said that the Cardinals catcher has also heard from at least 3 other teams. One, it feels like Yadier Molina has been playing forever, and that's true because he's been playing. He made his debut in June of 2004. He turned 38 in July. For some reason, it feels like he's so much older than that. And the other thing, too, I can't picture him on another team other than the Cardinals. He's been with them his entire career, and I would find it surprising if they let him go. But you never know. It's 2020. Strange things have happened. But if you were asked to name a player from the Cardinals, wouldn't he be the guy that you mention because he's been there for so long? I mean, Yadier Molina is synonymous with the Cardinals. That's who you think of. That's who I think of. And it would be really odd seeing him in a different uniform. Other than that, there aren't many rumors. Obviously, Okay, wait. I shouldn't say that. I mean, there are rumors going around about the Yankees maybe trading for Francisco Lindor. I could see that happening if they don't re-sign DJ LeMahieu. I can't see the both of them on the team. Lindor would play shortstop, then they'd move Gleyber Torres back to second base. Would I love for the Yankees to be able to trade for Lindor and still keep LeMahieu? Yes. Will it happen? Probably not. As I mentioned on previous shows, the Yankees are going to need pitching, and they may prioritize that over Lindor or LeMahieu, depending on how the market shakes out. Is that even a saying? My brain is just... Is anyone else feeling really tired since the clocks went back? It's going to be 2 weeks, I think, right? This weekend? And I'm still affected by the clock going back an hour. I'll look at the clock at night and it's, say, 7:15 and it feels like it's 11 o'clock at night. Oh, I keep forgetting to mention this, but you can vote for the All-MVP team. You can vote once every 24 hours, and voting ends at 2 p.m. tomorrow, Friday, November 13th. So let's see. Luke Voit is up at first base. DJ LeMahieu at second base. Gio Urshela at third base. Let's see. Any more? I thought they said four. Oh, yeah. Hello. Starting pitching. Wait. Where the hell is... Oh, there's Gerrit Cole. I was going to say... If Gerrit Cole is not on this list, what the hell kind of a list is this? Okay, Gerrit Cole, you can vote for him for a starter. And I think that's it. So Voit, Urshela, LeMahieu, Gerrit Cole. Again, voting ends tomorrow at 2. It is now 3:08 p.m. on the East Coast, which means you only have one chance to vote before voting ends tomorrow. One more thing before I go. Domingo Herman will be the opening day starter for the Los Toros del Este of the Dominican Republic Professional Baseball League on Sunday. The team announced this on Instagram. He commented with fire emojis under that picture of him. He hasn't pitched in a professional game since September 18th, 2019. He threw 2 1/3 innings against the Angels. The next day, he was put on administrative leave as Major League Baseball investigated domestic violence allegations against him. He was ultimately suspended 81 games, or half of the 162-game schedule. He was credited with 18 games served in 2019, and he was set to serve the remaining 63 and return in 2020. The league then shortened the season to 60 games due to the coronavirus, and because of the prolonged battle between the Players Association over money and health and safety protocols, MLB finally restated Herman on October 6th, but by then it was too late for him to do anything for the Yankees. Now, he's expected to rejoin the Yankees in spring training, but Hal Steinbrenner left open the possibility of moving on from Herman. He said this on the Michael Kay Show on October 13th. I have to absolutely feel comfortable that he deeply, deeply regrets and is sorry for what he did, and I absolutely have to be comfortable with the fact that he's turned his life around. Those two things are for sure. As far as where we go with him, I don't know. That's another discussion that I have to have with not just Brian Cashman and all, but my family, and we will see. But there's no doubt he needs to prove that he's turned his life around and that he absolutely realizes how horrific that was. I don't know, that seems kind of rich coming from the Yankees after Aroldis Chapman's nonsense and trading for him and then signing him to an extension. So, I don't know. Those words kind of ring hollow for me. And Roto World just posted that the Yankees will listen to any trade offers on Gary Sanchez. So, that'll be interesting to see over the offseason if anything happens with him. He has... Woo! He did not have a good 2020. He has not had a good year in a while, and something needs to give with Gary Sanchez. Either he needs to rework his stuff at the plate, and I'm talking about batting, not defensively. He was fine defensively, but he was atrocious at the plate in 2020. Just lost. And anytime you thought he was turning the corner, he did not. It was really sad to see because there were games where he was 0-4 with 3 strikeouts, 0-4 with 4 strikeouts. It had gotten to the point where you knew he'd go up to the plate and you'd think, strikeout. I don't even know if this makes sense, but it almost looked like he never played baseball. Like, sometimes he would swing so badly. It was as if he never played professional baseball in his life. He could never make adjustments, and he just looked terrible. So, you know what? I mean, I love Gary Sanchez. He had some really great moments as a Yankee. But if the Yankees can get something good for him, I mean, I don't know how, because I don't know who thinks that they can change him if the Yankees haven't been able to do anything with him. But you never know. Maybe he just needs a change of scenery and he'll do better. I know a lot of people are hoping that the Yankees could maybe replace Sanchez with JT Realmuto, which that's one hell of a dream, people. But you never know. Again, as I keep saying, it's 2020. Strange things have happened, so maybe. On tomorrow's show, I will discuss DJ LeMahieu not winning the AL MVP and any other Yankee news. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast, Locked On Yankees. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.